Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 75 is being brought to you once again by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So, for those faithful listeners, we skipped last week for some reason.
Well, if we're being honest, we skipped last week for some reason because I was out of town and you didn't want to do it by yourself. I've done it by myself before when you were out of the country.
I remember, and it was pretty painful, you said. So
it was definitely like talking to a wall.
Yeah. I mean, literally, that's what I would have been doing is sitting here talking to a wall. So yes. Where'd you go?
I went to Michigan.
The Big D.
I went to Detroit, yes. Well, just outside of Detroit.
Okay.
Lance's little brother has purchased his first home.
Congratulations. So, Ryan is his name.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So, yeah, we went and visited, and we came back in the same weekend. Okay. So, very short trip. And thankfully, the CDC has reduced its travel restrictions as far as, like, those people that quarantine. So, we did not need to quarantined for 2 weeks when we came back. So
so you played by the rules, you wore your mask, you practiced social distancing, all those things that we're all now doing.
Absolutely. I've told some people it was actually quite enjoyable flying because if you've ever been like, you know, a couple on an airline, you're like, oh great, who's going to be the third person in our seat, right? Like,
right.
Then whoever's in the middle is kind of uncomfortable, but this was great actually because, again, the middle seat is not occupied, and so we didn't have to pay for upgraded seats or anything like that. We just simply sat, the two of us sat in one entire row, and it was lovely.
Did y'all talk to each other or did you act like strangers?
We acted like strangers.
Okay, nice, nice. Okay, very cool. So things around here still going very much the same as last time we were on air, I believe. COVID still out there, still dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Every day seems like Groundhog Day once again. But restrictions, right or wrong, CDC recommendations are becoming a little more lax. And personally, I actually agree with what they're saying to do because I've said from pre-day one, or maybe after day one, that I don't think we can hide from this disease. We can't test ourselves out of it. We can't quarantine. What was the initial? Was it 14 days to slow the spread?
Originally.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh. So if only we were on like day 13 now and tomorrow's day 14, we're done. But,
yeah.
You know, not going to go into the politics of it, but if somebody had the right answer, no matter what political party or what their profession was, they would have spoken up and we would have been done with this. It's not that simple. You can't just say test and, oh, you know how to spell COVID, quarantine for 14 days. Come back when you can't spell it. It just doesn't work that way. So I think the approach being taken in our school system and in our area via following the CDC guidelines is correct. In that people are going
to
get it, and yeah. Hopefully, for the most part, it's going to be a minor or non-illness, and then we move on.
Yeah, so I was going to say, you know, we have dealt with positive cases here in our practice with our staff specifically, and we have recently had a couple of staff members not come to work sick, but also not have corona.
Correct.
And so I think for a couple of months there, at least in my mind, I mean, that was the only sickness that I feel like anyone was even remotely concerned about. So hopefully, again, as we've talked about for months now, as we come out of this whole corona scare, if mm-hmm. you will, we'll start to realize things like don't come to work if you're ill, because now, you know, nobody else is calling out. You know, we're not having this trickle down or this domino effect of people. So I think we're able to take it a little bit more, I guess, humbly, if you will.
Yeah. So that's always been something we've struggled with. I was going to say as an industry, but as a clinic and as a group of clinics, when you're sick, do you go to work? Do you not go to work? If you're the sole doctor on, you kind of need to go to work. And, you know, you Well, persevere through it, but the negative is you expose the other staff members.
Well, to define sick, though, there's a difference in, like, I don't feel well versus, like, I have a fever and I may have contagious disease.
Yeah, I've got a fever, green snot coming out of my nose, I'm coughing, I really can't survive. So I think that will be one good thing that will come out of this is more self-awareness business-wise. I think we probably will implement a new policy or two regarding sickness and what that is defined as, and you know, maybe look at some future staff benefits for that. So with the good come the bad, and with the bad come the good. So I don't know what else is going to come good out of this other than the whole remote working, telemedicine, remote meetings are some good things.
You're listing a lot of things.
Yeah. So there are. There are.
There's some things that it has definitely forced us into doing, things that we would have never approached before. Like we've talked about our meetings, having people attend our like big company-wide meetings via Zoom. Historically, that would have never really been an option. But honestly, if
it makes sense,
if we have a video of that person and we can obviously see that they're engaged and that kind of thing, I don't see why we can't have that moving forward. The curbside stuff that we've talked about, we are consistently always going to have curbside. I've talked to a couple of our pharmaceutical reps that have come by, and they're pretty impressed with the parking lot signs that we have outside. And they're like, oh, so you guys like went serious about this. And I'm like, yeah, but serious as in like we're going to continue some aspect of this always moving forward.
We did that back in April.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thank you, Pet Pro Connect, for your app. And for sponsoring those signs.
Absolutely.
Very, very helpful. So yeah, a lot of things just continue to evolve and we continue to deal with it. Coming in this morning, I heard a story on WSB radio that one person is predicting New York City will not ever come back. Another is saying it's going to be a 10-year recovery. And a local guy, Wes Moss, predicted within a year.
Oh, wow.
And so some of the arguments are that
when they mean come back, do they mean like the tourist traffic, financial?
Multifactorial.
Yeah, okay.
So why, are the big cities going to exist as they are today?
Gotcha.
Yes, no, maybe. Do we need to have, how many, 70, is it 7 million or 70 million people in New York City?
I have no idea.
It was one of those numbers. I wouldn't be surprised if it's either. But do we need to have this big of a concentration of people that come together and work face-to-face and, you know, pick up the phone or go door-to-door and do the sales and all the things that are involved in business and commerce, or can we do it remotely? And one of the points was the broadband width now is available almost everywhere.
Sure.
You could go fill in the blank and get a really good internet connection and conduct business. So maybe it's kind of like back in the day when door-to-door salesmen, right?
Sure.
People had to either go knock on your door or drive to your business to try to sell a product.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the movie Founder
I watched. And now they use email? Is that kind of where you're going?
Well, email, telephone, other means of
communication. To get things in front of you. Sure.
You don't have to get in your car and be gone for a month driving across the country trying to sell a milkshake mixer.
Sure.
So things are evolving. Not super happy about some of the changes, but I don't have a choice. So, all right. So that's our 9-minute introduction there. We have evidently lots to talk about. Do you want to talk about the word of the week next?
Sure. So prior to starting this podcast, Dr. Miller assigned me with the word of the week.
Well, assigned you.
He did. It was definitely a homework assignment. So my original word of the week was zeal, but it has nothing to do with veterinary medicine.
Z-I-E-L?
Z-E-A-L. So like just the excitement, the dedication that someone has to do something. So I thought for sure like I will zealously find the word of the week.
Wow.
So anyways, that has nothing to do with veterinary medicine. So I found a new one, and it is eupnea. Am I saying it correctly?
I think so. Good breath.
No. Like normal respiratory. Nia, like dyspnea.
Breath, breathing.
Okay, but like I think when you say breath like that, and I would think that the layperson thinks breath, like
good respiration.
Out of your mouth.
Good or normal? So euthanasia. Good death.
Okay.
Eupnea.
Eupnea.
So dyspnea, tachypnea.
So, I did a good job, is
anyway,
what you're saying.
You did a great job.
Wow, you're so great. I deserve bonusly points for that one.
The patient was eupnic on exam.
Eupnic.
Like, what in the world does that mean? Oh, it was normal breathing.
That is one of those things that we would teach our new grads not to say, right?
Great. Yeah. So, great. Yes. Yes. Great
because
point.
I think like our new graduates and our young even technicians would be like, oh, look how smart I am. I know this fancy, fancy word. And then you end up like talking over your clients or saying things that frustrate them because they don't really know what you're talking about or concerning them. And when really all you're saying is
like, what do you mean?
Good.
What do you mean?
Normal.
He's eupnic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all right, it cool. would be one of those words we don't really talk about.
We don't. And I think, I think that's a good point for sure. Healthy pet, happy life.
The topic of all discussions amongst us here at Russell Ranch
locally,
these days.
Locally, yeah. Healthy pet, happy life. You plus your healthy pet equal happy life for you and your healthy pet. Nothing really planned. What have we talked about along those lines?
Vaccines, altering.
Okay. Heartworms.
We've talked about heart and prevention.
It used to be called heartworms. And then it was heartworm disease, and now it's just heartworm because so many people outside of the industry or in our industry, now they just call it heartworm. Kind of like pharma is the pharmaceutical companies mm-hmm. in human medicine, but it's big pharma or pharma.
Mm-hmm.
They just shorten it. I guess they're lazy, all these lay people outside the industry. anyway.
You're so disgruntled today.
I am a little bit. Have we talked about coronavirus?
In pets?
In pets.
A little.
And the vaccine?
Not for pets.
Is, I believe, still available and was available?
No.
Okay. When I got out of vet school a few years ago, coronavirus was in one of the Fort Dodge vaccines, and we would recommend it as an initial vaccine in a 6 to 8 week old puppy because the thought process was it's a disease causing GI upset in young puppies, but not older puppies.
So,
did you learn anything about coronavirus vaccine?
I don't know that I learned anything about the coronavirus vaccine, but I do know that it's available. So, I think we should, again, for the lay people out there, for me, maybe, we're not talking about SARS-CoV-2. We're not talking about COVID-19. We're talking about a classification of a virus, coronavirus. As we've discussed many a times, there's multiple types of coronavirus.
Yep.
So SARS, essentially, as we knew back in 2012, 2018, whenever that was, in China, that was essentially a coronavirus as well.
Right.
Feline infectious peritonitis, you were talking about as a coronavirus
in
cats.
Yeah.
But now you're talking about like a GI disease in dogs.
Yep.
So I did not learn much about that in like in my contagious disease class or my my studies as a technician. But for sure, when I first came out in as a, I guess, into clinics or as in a practice, that is definitely something that was an optional vaccine.
Was being administered, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and honestly, a lot of the, I guess for heck's sake, I'll just say it. So a lot of the Banfield practices where they were doing a lot of basically like every vaccine optionable.
Yep. So ringworm vaccine, FIV vaccine, and now coronavirus is still in that same classification as a vaccine as far as usefulness.
So again, when I came out of school, like, and we would see those, like, what are they called? The plans, like people would go on like monthly plans
wellness
for
plans.
Their vaccines. Yeah, yeah. Their wellness plans. They would essentially include everything. And so we would oftentimes get medical records that would have a coronavirus vaccine. And so No, to your point, it's not something I learned about, but it's definitely something I saw.
So I learned about it in vet school as far as coronavirus can be an issue in younger dogs. Mm-hmm. And then clinically, the first practice I went to, we used it. The second practice I went to, they were kind of fair weather or whatever the phrase is. And then we just moved away from it. And now it's definitely not a core vaccine. And I don't even think, was it Dr. Ford? A year or two ago, we went to a meeting with talking about the core vaccines and current recommendations, AHA recommendations.
We did talk to or go to something like that put on by BI.
But it was not even talked about. And so it's kind of off the radar. But in fairness to some of the vaccines we just mentioned, we used to recommend, do you remember the dental vaccine?
Porphyrimonas.
Conditionally licensed by the FDA. Until proven effective or ineffective, and after probably about 18 months, it was proven ineffective.
So I always thought it was very interesting. So I will be somewhat candid with this in the sense that when I first started with GVA in 2010, I was working in our Hamilton Ridge location, and we would recommend the Porphyrimonas vaccine, and I always thought it was the weirdest thing that we're recommending a vaccine for dental bacteria.
Yeah, but the thought was that Porphyrimonas bacteria is the main cause of periodontal disease. So you get tartar and gingivitis at the gum line level, and then this bacteria has to be present in order for it to progress to periodontal disease, which when I say that out loud seems kind of silly, right?
Silly, exactly.
But it's kind of like Wolbachia and heartworm.
Yeah, but you treat
the... Notice I said heartworm.
You treat the Wolbachia with an antibiotic.
Yep.
So it again, in order to kind weaken, of going backwards in this whole like antiviral vaccine, why are we using this for a bacteria? It didn't make sense to me then, and I certainly didn't like investigate. I just kind of took it for its word. But clearly, you know, you and whoever was making the decisions at the time reevaluated, as we do often. We like to innovate. Our vaccine recommendations back then and dropped it. So
yeah. Bottom line, vaccine still very, very important. Look at the individual pet, look at the individual situation, and come up with a good game plan. All right. Stories. You got any?
No, I just have one tidbit of information that I wanted to talk about locally or, you know, within our practices. And that is, today is the conclusion of August 2020, and so for the month of August, we dedicated it to the Care Fund since we had canceled our 5K for the first time in 6 years, or 5 years, essentially. It would have been our sixth annual, and so our marketing team, Jen and Rhonda, they had said that they would be doing some custom things like koozies. We had t-shirts that were kind of... I won't say one of a kind, but kind of promotional, if you will, for us. And so we actually ended up raising $515 for the month of August. So that was fantastic. We did a raffle today for a Yeti Roadie cooler for those people that had donated some money. And we had a winner. She's a client here at Russell Ridge with two pets. So super exciting there. I think that obviously goes to show that like custom stuff is definitely where people, where their interest lies, if you will.
Oh, sure.
And so I'm hopeful that we can continue to raise money in those ways and those efforts moving forward.
Yeah, come up with continued fresh ideas and keep our clients and staff involved. So awesome, awesome. I'm kind of excited to see what our fall t-shirts are going to look like and when they're going to be here.
Which, I bet you they're going to be very fall-like, like with leaves and stuff.
You think? Long sleeve or short sleeve?
Three-quarter.
Three-quarter sleeve. Okay. All right, let's move into stories because people don't really care about that, in my opinion. So, two stories from the AVMA Smart Brief, near and dear to my heart. One was that Judge Lady, an 18-year-old American black bear who is the mascot at Baylor University. Do you know where Baylor's located?
Texas.
Waco, Texas. That's correct. What other famous person came or was located in Waco, Texas, who's no longer with us?
Some mass murderer dude.
David Koresh, yeah. So
he was the cult killer. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Texas A&M evidently a year ago had removed a thymoma from her chest, and most recently they removed a mass from her spinal column.
So, as an 18-year-old black bear, so what's the lifespan of bears?
I have no idea.
Okay, me
either. I just thought it was interesting that A&M and Baylor used to be in the Southwest Conference. They used to be rivals. Baylor's 2.5 hours north, going up towards Dallas from A&M. So, I thought it was really cool that they collaborated.
So, interesting, but also probably not. But do how many schools have actual live animals as their mascots these days? Do you know?
The first person that emails or Instagrams or somehow messages us that will get a GVA logoed
koozie.
Scarf.
Scarf. Ooh, scarf.
Winter's come out. We have some scarves left over.
So I do think that's interesting. So that Baylor has an 18-year-old American black bear. And I feel like maybe a year ago we talked about this. But like UGA, University of Georgia, their mascot is a bulldog. But yep. I feel like every 12 to 18 months, that bulldog dies and they get a new bulldog.
It's not quite that often.
It seems like it's that often. But yet they've had a mascot
for
18 years. Ugga. But they've had this one mascot for 18 years, and so that's pretty impressive. But again, I don't know the lifespan of bears in captivity, but I do wonder truly how many colleges throughout the United States have live animals as
birds, tigers. Alabama doesn't have an elephant, but
who takes care of these
caretakers? I mean, Reveille at A&M.
Where does this bear live?
I don't know.
I think it's wrong. That bear, I said it. I think it's wrong.
I bet they're treated like kings and queens.
I mean, I would bet,
like this bear probably, if it had a spinal tumor, would go have surgery.
Yes, but also nature versus nurture. If it was left where it came from, kidding.
Here we go.
We won't really go there, but I do think it's interesting. Like, why would you have a live animal, especially a freaking bear that could kill your students? As your mascot.
I don't think students are allowed to pet the bear.
Anyways, you get my point.
I do. In other news, Dr. Bonnie Beaver received this year's AVMA award in recognition of her contributions to veterinary medicine. She's a former A&M president, or excuse me, AVMA president, co-founded the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists, and was one of my professors at Texas A&M.
I was going to say, how does this tie back into being near and dear to your heart?
Yeah. So congratulations, Dr. Beaver. She truly was one of a handful of, you talk about innovation, of behaviorists in the profession whenever I was going through school, and has really done a lot for the profession. So once again, that's pretty cool that she was recognized for that. White nose syndrome fungus, once again, is spreading amongst bats. For some reason now, I feel like every other podcast, we have something going on with bats. COVID.
I guess, yeah.
You know, so I've just been reading a lot. They're in the news quite frequently, it seems. So that was the only reason I wanted to talk about that. And then there's one other thing I wanted to talk about.
Well, while you're talking about that, let's talk a little bit more about COVID. So I feel like we need to start this whole As Seen on Social Media segment of our podcast, because I feel like I always bring something up that I saw on Facebook or social media. But it was definitely a topic of conversation recently on some of the, I guess, the forums that I'm on, about how emergency rooms, both in human medicine and in animal medicine, have been so inundated, like, that they just can't keep up.
Yep, not seeing patients.
They're
or
not
taking on new patients.
Yeah, they're increased patients. They have increased patient wait time, and they're turning people away. And so I find it interesting because we're busy, but we're not that busy that we're gonna decline seeing. I think it's an interesting
concept.
The pause
right there, too. Like, they're not taking on new patients. Well, who goes to an emergency clinic or
room? Multiple, yeah.
It's a new patient.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah. So, I guess the other thing would be, you know, like, if you have a pet, I would really consider, if it's after hours, you know, deciding if it's truly an emergency or not, because if they're just going to turn you away, or if they're going to make you wait for hours and upon hours, maybe you should find a animal practice that's open, or a small animal daytime practice that's open a little bit later, or maybe extended hours like us on the weekends, or something like that. The question would be posed, like, is it truly an emergency? This may be where telehealth comes in, because if these people can't get in an emergency and they don't really know one way or the other.
We've considered that. We have the option to do that right now. The whole triage type thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and we probably need to pull the trigger on that and offer that as a service.
Yeah.
Because I do see the need for that. And to your point, if they can't get in or have a long wait time, we need to have another option for them. So.
Yeah.
I don't know what else I was going to talk about. I think that's about it. So, you have anything else?
No, just the one other, like, topic of, like, current news, I guess, is that both our east and our west coasts are kind of facing natural disaster, if you will, right? So, we have the fires happening out in California. I read something like 770,000 acres of land have been burned.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about the... that massive number of, I mean, most people's houses aren't even on 1 acre.
Right.
770,000 acres. That's just insane. And then we have, you know, our Gulf and I think our East Coast kind of being hit with some tropical storms and some hurricanes and stuff. So everyone stay safe. There are some suggestions out there from the AVMA on how to, I guess, have disaster preparedness plans for your pet. We should have them essentially everywhere throughout the United States. And I think we've talked about this as well, but it's a little different whether you're facing a fire, a hurricane, or tornado. A flash flood in the middle of America.
Texas A&M plug again. They started a disaster team, if you will.
Oh, really?
And they have this big either van or trailer to where they will... if something happens, you know, New Orleans, they will gather 10, 15, 20 professors, students, volunteers, and they will head that way and start serving. And so I know Katrina, I believe, is what sparked that. And that's been a while now.
2005.
But they've been
right?
doing that for a while. And I just saw that they deployed, was the word I was looking for, a team with the recent hurricane that hit
Louisiana.
Only one hit, right? Two were predicted. The other was a tropical storm that kind of died off. So, Louise.
Laura, I thought.
Laura, maybe. I think you're right. And then started with an M. Never materialized. So, luckily.
Yeah.
So, the only other thing I had is thank you, Dr. Meryl Reese. Take a bow. Take two bows. She gave us an awesome, innovative idea to reward our staff, but also... have our staff a little more involved. And my apologies for not answering your email. I tend to leave things unread so that I don't forget them. But that's really close to, I think, what we need to do as far as creating a iCare scholarship type fund. So thank you, Dr. Reese.
All right, guys. Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. You looking at me like I cut you off.
Dr. Connor had her baby yesterday.
She did.
That's what I wanted to say.
Okay. Congratulations to Dr. Connor and her family.
Yes.
And thank you, Dr. Reese. All right, guys. Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Again, I was going to tell you that we're getting about like one new follower a week.
What?
I'm super excited about it. Yep. Follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. Please hit subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys.